A new Inspector General report isn't kind to the Postal Service's fleet. It points out the delivery trucks are aging rapidly, don't get very good gas mileage. That report comes on the heels of a new executive order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The Postal Service needs some work there, too. So what steps is it taking? Well, for some answers, we turn to Thomas Day. He's the Postal Service's Chief Sustainability Officer. He joins me now. Mr. Day, great to have you back.
Good morning. How are you doing, Tom?
All right. So this new executive order, I presume it applies to the Postal Service, correct? The reduction of all emissions and power use and water use in federal facilities?
It does on a voluntary basis, just like the last executive order or series of orders. The Postal Service is an agency that has voluntary compliance in these orders, but as our track record has shown, we truly adopt these targets and go after them and achieve them for the most part.
Now, one way to reduce, the consumption of power and electricity and so forth is to close facilities, which you have done somewhat. But you also, I guess, are trying to reduce it on a per office or per location basis, too, correct?
Right. I mean, what that gets down to is there's absolute reductions in greenhouse gas and energy, but there's also intensity reductions, and our mission is to try to get both of those things done. So as we shrink the footprint, that certainly reduces those emissions and that energy, but we want to make sure that as best we can, we reduce our intensity as well.
All right. So I guess the fleet is one of the areas that you're concentrating on these days.
Certainly is, and we've been working at it for quite a while. You're correct, there is an IG report that talks about our fleet. They point out a number of things that, unfortunately, we have known and have been working on. We've had some financial difficulties. The replacement of our fleet is a significant investment. It's been publicly reported now for quite a while, but it's probably anywhere from a $5 to $7 billion investment. And we need to make sure that we do it right, get the right type of technology that reduces impact on the environment, makes good financial sense, and it's got to be a vehicle that is configured to handle our changing business.
I mean, one thing about those little white tilted trucks that run around, they sure did last a long time.
Well,
in terms of not having to build new ones, that's kind of an issue of sustainability also, right?
Yes, it is. That's true. When you don't have to keep going out and buying new vehicles, that is a reduced impact on the environment. The vehicle certainly earned its name. It was called a long-life vehicle when we purchased it back in the late 80s, and it has lasted a very long life, but it is time that we get out there and begin the process to replace it.
And so is there a vision for what the replacement will look like? I mean, are you going to manufacturers at this point and saying, what could it look like?
Yes, we've been going through a series of efforts with the industry, the automotive industry, to talk about what is possible. We've been doing our own research over the course, well over the last year, to get the latest state-of-the-art about vehicles, everything you can imagine that might go in a vehicle, including reduced impact on the environment, but basic features like safety, backup cameras, that type of thing is a good example. We're trying to figure out what is the best thing we can do, and again, match it to our changing business needs, because what we bought back in the late 80s was at a point in time in which we were growing traditional mail volume, letters, magazines, newspapers, catalogs, with some packages. We've seen a shrinking traditional mail volume, but a explosive growth on packages. So we need a vehicle that has a different configuration than the one we bought nearly 30 years ago.
All right, and what about the facilities of the Postal Service itself? I mean, those do what they do. They probably, as you say, lower first-class volume, but greater packaging volume. What kind of impact does that have on this whole sustainability picture?
What we see is that energy intensity at the buildings that do remain is something that we've got to manage very, very closely. So as you go from what was over 400 major processing centers to a number that's just over 200 and will get smaller, that you do consume quite a bit of electricity at the buildings that remain. We need to make sure we manage that as best we possibly can. Our facilities group has done a fantastic job with energy audits. It's basic work. It's getting your heating and ventilation systems current and up-to-date and efficient, lighting systems. Now we've got to take a hard look inside the buildings at the systems themselves that process mail and making sure we're as energy efficient as possible and do basic things, just making sure that things are turned off when you don't need them.
How big is the average processing center? Are these factory-like settings? I mean, I've actually never seen the inside of one.
Okay. We're down now that most of them are rather large by anyone who hasn't seen them by your standards. But as someone who's been around them for quite a while, we have several that are 1 million square feet, so they can be quite large. Average is one of those things. I'm not quite sure what that is, but it is probably in the range of 400,000 to 500,000 square feet. So yes, a light industry kind of setting, a lot of equipment that's used to sort the mail, a lot of equipment inside the building to move containers around, a more of a warehouse logistics environment.
We're speaking with Thomas Day. He's the Postal Service's Chief Sustainability Officer. And so, you know, in the other federal buildings under the, you know, the ones that are part of the executive branch, they have been putting in new monitoring systems and new thermostats and different ways of getting feedback on the energy that they use and trying to apply that to the equipment that operates it. But what's the Postal Service doing in these big facilities along those lines?
Well, as I indicated, what we have been doing are the big systems. We've gotten those audited, and where we need to replace or upgrade, we've been doing that. What you point out is where we're going as well. We need much more finite data about what goes on in the building and where the energy consumption takes place. We have been talking to a number of companies that offer that type of technology. We're moving forward to pilot that just to figure out what works best for our particular operations and configuration and see where the opportunities lie. The other big thing we've got is we do have a lot of buildings. While we concentrate on the 200 or so major processing centers, we have over 30,000 individual post offices, most of which are leased, but still there's quite a bit of effort that can go forward there to reduce energy, both quantity and intensity. Some of it is what we continue to emphasize is just basic human behavior. When you're done, turn off the lights, make sure the thermostats are correctly set. But where we can, we do want to introduce new technology. One of the things that will continue to be intriguing is obviously getting out of lighting as it's been now for the past God knows how many years, but The LED-type lighting systems are certainly proving to be very, very effective.
And at the getting back to the postal center, the processing centers, who there is responsible for doing this? I guess they would report to you, right?
No. Actually, my office is really kind of the watchdog and the reporter. We gather the data. We collaborate with our colleagues. When it's a major facility project, we have a facilities group responsible for that. On the day-to-day operation of a building, it's a combination of our network operations group, and a subset of that group is our building maintenance activity. So they're the ones, and I've had people on my staff in the past in that group, a very dedicated group of individuals, very talented group of individuals that pay attention to that. The one responsibility that I know we have in my group working with facilities and operations is to make sure we get them the data to be able to look at what's going on. And the culture of the Postal Service is such, if you provide people a metric and data that measures it on a regular basis and set a target for them, they'll go out and get it done.
And I wonder, does it ever come to the point where the Postal Service could conclude that we need that processing center, but not that building, and actually build a new place from the scratch with that, again, that's needed because of the capacity that it performs, but might be functionally obsolete in terms of a building that you can upgrade any further?
We honestly have not been doing very much of that for quite a while. We are very confident in the building locations we have. They're well established. We've looked at that. It's a combination of how big is the building and how many dock doors, so we have enough trucks that can get up to move mail in and out of the building and access and egress to major highways. We're pretty well situated with that. We're not prone at this point in time to go out and leave a building and go build a brand new big one. We have done a bit of expansion projects on a number of our buildings, and that's more in tune with where we're going.
Because I was thinking of the one-time new building that was a wonder of the Northeast when they built a giant processing center in Boston near the water. I presume that one's still going. But you know how those buildings get. What's great and shiny in the 1970s or 80s, you know, by 2015, 2020 is looking a little long in tooth.
That building, yes, I've been in that several times. Actually, that's on prime real estate right now. What was a wonderful building in South Boston on the water at the time, somewhat industrial area, has grown up around us, and there's some interest in that property. We have not decided yet what we're going to do, but that might be another one of interest to see what we do in the future.
Yeah, so maybe some condos there and the Postal Service goes somewhere else, huh?
We'll see. But that is one of the possibilities. That is one of the things that can happen in some of our locations where the neighborhood grows up around us and the value of the property is such that that others are interested. But for the Postal Service, we're financially independent. We don't get taxpayer dollars. We've got to make sure that whatever we do is in the best interest financially of the Postal Service as well.
Well, maybe they'll call it One Postal Place or something when the time comes. Tom Day is the Chief Sustainability Officer at the Postal Service. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.